Sometimes we tend to oversimplify the birth of Jesus as a little more than a date that marks our December calendars. And yet, an in-depth study about Jesus' birth exposes the theological underpinnings of the Christian faith. And the miracle of the Incarnation gives us even more reason to celebrate Christmas Day with joy. Merry Christmas! We're delighted you've chosen to join us for today's Insight for Living, in which Chuck Swindoll invites us to follow a New Testament thread of verses that embody the Christian miracle. But first, this musical treat from talented soloist Paige Brumley.
They journeyed far, a weary pair. They sought for shelter from the cold night air, some place where she could lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there, in all the town a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed.
Paige's song asks a wonderful question that before the morning has ended, you, each one of you needs to answer. The real question has to do with your own heart. that part of you to which you alone have access and make those decisions that can truly change your whole frame of thinking. Do you have room? You'll be given an opportunity toward the end of this message to come to terms with that, and I urge you not to leave until you can honestly say that answer is yes. Yes. I'm looking at two places in the Scriptures I'd like to read from. First is over in the second chapter of the little letter Paul wrote to the Philippians. Philippians 2, I'll read verses 5 through 8. And then we'll look back at a single verse at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Philippians 2, and then 2 Corinthians 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death, death on a cross. And the last verse of 2 Corinthians 9. Thank God for this gift. Thank God for his gift. Too wonderful for words.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To go deeper in your own study of the Bible, be sure to download our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Jesus, What a Gift.
Few things in life are more delightful than holding in our arms a brand new baby. The skin is always so soft, and that little puckered face always makes me smile, and their tiny little hands with little fingernails and feet and toes and toenails. And I even like hearing them cry, probably because they're not mine and it isn't 1:30 in the morning. But I think their little shrill cry is just adorable. Cynthia and I had the joy just a short time ago of standing together and holding a tiny newborn in our arms, Wesley James Swindoll. That name will be in light someday. There he was, our very first great-grandchild, and he is a real winner, I want to tell you. He had a little iPhone, he knows how to run, and iPad, and not really. But it was great when he looked up and said, hi, Nana and Bubba. It was just a great moment. Seriously, there were pictures taken, of course, in the home of our son, who is the child's grandfather. Love reminding my son he's now a granddad. But as I stood there with the men in our family, it dawned on me, here stands four generations of Swindolls. Here's this little tiny infant. Standing beside him is his young, soon-to-be 29-year-old father, our grandson. And right next to him is a 51-year-old grandfather our son, and then the great grandfather in the group. It was a wonderful moment. In fact, I could remember when we held this little child's daddy in our arms on Christmas Day, the day he was born, back in 1983. In fact, when I really paused to remember, I recalled holding his grandfather in my arms when Kurt was not even a day old, the 4th of September, 1961. It was a great moment. If we thought that was something, can you even imagine? Can you even imagine the feelings that came over this young couple in the dark, maybe under a single torchlight, and looking into the face of this newborn child? I do wonder if Joseph may have whispered to Mary, this is remarkable. This is just remarkable. And the reason is that Mary and Joseph, both though young, realized who they held in their arms. You can't help but wonder if Mary didn't at that moment recall the first time she felt the little feet of the Son of God kicking against her uterus wall. You wonder if that moment caused Joseph to wipe from his memory the ugly comments of the neighbors in Nazareth who spoke loud enough for him to hear them as they referred to her getting pregnant awfully soon after the two got married. But that, if this moment is not important to them, they're looking into the face and into the eyes of an infant that makes them suck in their breath. This tiny 5, 6, maybe 7 pound infant had fled the third heaven, had seen the splendors of the universe traveling light years through time, passing beyond the whirling galaxies and the blazing suns and the flashing across the infinite distances and the stars by the billions to come into this galaxy and to locate this one blue, green, tan globe in space spinning, finding the Mideast area the Romans called Palestine, and into Nazareth and into the womb of the Virgin. Amazing. Here they were in the dark, holding the Son of God. Philip Yancey, in a magnificent moment, a book titled The Jesus I Never Knew, depicts the scene. One night in the cold, in the dark, among the wrinkled hills of Bethlehem, God, who knows no before or after, entered time and space. God, who knows no boundaries, took on the shocking confines of a baby's skin and the ominous restraints of immortality. Now, if you think the conception itself and the birth were amazing, and certainly they were, our amazement is intensified tenfold when we look before the conception before the pregnancy. When we take that life and go back into time, even beyond time, and realize he didn't begin to exist in fetal form or embryonic form as a tiny little baby. That wasn't his start. He never had a beginning. When we go that far back, we go into the outer spaces of even our imagination. Before there was earth, before there was a world, this universe, before there was matter, there existed the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, together. And there he was, second member of the Trinity, a part of the plan that would rescue those who live in the future on that little globe called Earth. You see, we are also short-sighted. We look at the seen and we forget the unseen. We rivet into the now and we tend to forget eternity past. If you think the conception and the birth of the baby were amazing, and they were, when you look before the conception, you realize who they held in their arms. In a whole new light. Before we land on Philippians 2, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 8. Please. 2 Corinthians 8. The context of this chapter is generosity. Paul is writing the people in Corinth because they had money to be sure and finish the offering they had begun to take for the church in Jerusalem, who had no money, in great need. Paul is going to pass through, or he will send a messenger through, and he wants to pick up a collection from these Corinthians. And so he writes chapters 8 and 9 saying, be generous, be very generous. Now look at verse 7 of chapter 8. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Then he realizes he needs an illustration. He needs to provide for them some example of generosity. And he lands on the perfect one, the classic example, verse 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch closely. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Sounds like a tongue twister. It isn't that at all. Look again. Though he was rich, looking far back into the infinite spaces before there was an earth, before there were angels, before there was matter, in the infinite spaces when there was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity, he was rich. He had everything. He had authority. He had full knowledge. He had the command. He, in fact, would be the one who would create all things under the guidance of the Father and under the influence of the Spirit. He was rich. That's the past. That's way back before he ever came to this earth. But it says he became poor. Mark the two phrases. He was rich. He became poor. That's the incarnation. The one who had it all gave it up so that he might come to be one of us. with all of our limitations and his as well, called here, he became poor. It's the first part of that that intrigues me, and maybe you. We spent so much time on the story of his earthly sojourn, so much about his birth and childhood and youth and early ministry, and then ultimately his death on a cross, and we should, but we tend to forget that the baby born to Mary in that scene is the one who has always been the second member of the Trinity, God in flesh among us. Now, with that in mind, turn to Philippians 2. It's a remarkable section of Scripture. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, writes one New Testament scholar, is the greatest and most moving passage Paul ever wrote about Jesus. Listen to these words. This is a passage which we must try fully to understand because it has so much in it to awaken our minds to thought and our hearts to wonder. To this end, we must look closely at some of the Greek words, a far richer language than English. And I certainly agree. In verse 5, he appeals to what is translated our attitudes. The Greek term is thinking. Let the same kind of thinking be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In other words, think the same thoughts as Christ thought. He is one with the Father and the Spirit. And at the time he realizes the mission that will require his coming to earth, his thought was not on himself and his own comfort, his own privileges, his own position. He immediately began to think of others. Without my coming, there will be no rescue. So we begin where we've talked about earlier, his being in that place of infinite presence. He begins in verse 5 with, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. His context here is humility. He's writing the people of Philippi saying, can't you get along? You're arguing among yourselves and there's disharmony among you and there's one-upmanship and there's a competition that needs to be none of that. I urge you to have an attitude of unselfishness. Need an illustration. Christ. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had.
We're just getting started exploring the details of the mystery and majesty of Christmas. You're listening to a special Christmas edition of Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll will continue this message on tomorrow's program. And stick with us because Chuck has prepared an update on his ministry plans, which we'll hear in just a moment. First, a quick preview of our theme this week. Today's message from Chuck is called Jesus, What a Gift. It's paired with another message we shared earlier this week called Joseph, Did You Know? These two holiday messages will keep our hearts and minds focused on the Christ child throughout Christmas week. Our biographical study of Moses will resume on Monday, December 30th. And now, here's Chuck.
2024 was my last year to preach from the pulpit here in Frisco at Stonebriar Community Church. I retired from the pulpit, but I have definitely not retired from the ministry. I look forward to creating new content in my ministry for you and your loved ones throughout 2025. Now, you can rest assured that Insight for Living Ministries will continue to expand our resources throughout this coming year and the years ahead. Now, I want to ask you a very personal question. Would you lock arms with us and lean in with us as we step into this new year with a gift that you can provide, perhaps even a year-end gift that you can give us. And we will use that for the purpose of launching our new plans for the future. I want to extend my personal thanks to all of you who have left us notes, sent comments, mail letters to us, encouraging us as we face the future together. May our Lord wonderfully bless each and every one of you as we together celebrate our Savior's birth and grace in all of our lives during this beautiful season of the year.
To reach out to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living with your generous year-end contribution, here's our contact information. If you'd like to send a donation in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. We love hearing your personal stories of life change. Your letters, your comments online, we read every one of them. I'm reminded of a note we recently received from a listener in Florida. She said, "Pastor Chuck, I've been in the wilderness for the past year to the point of questioning whether God is indeed still with me. I feel as if His Spirit has left me. I continue to seek Him and pray with difficulty. Your teaching today on Moses going through desert times spoke to me so deeply. I can't begin to tell you. It was as if the Lord was speaking to me directly. It so encouraged me and answered the question of why is this happening? Thank you, thank you. It's amazing how the Lord can use a sermon that was preached over 50 years ago to speak to me today." Well, thank you so much for sharing those powerful words. It affirms that God is using Insight for Living to give men and women all around the world a touch of His grace. Here's our address again, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. Or you can donate online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. On behalf of Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll and all of us here at Insight for Living, Merry Christmas from our homes to yours.
The preceding message, Jesus, What a Gift, was copyrighted in 2012, 2013, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.